Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, I like it. Amen. This amazes me. God just continually amazes me. How the Lord puts things together. That song just fits the message today just to a T. And so I praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles this morning, two places this morning. We're going to read one verse together and then we'll turn to the other place. But Romans chapter 8 this morning, Romans chapter 8, and then Psalms chapter 56. Romans chapter 8 and Psalms 56. Romans chapter 8, Psalms 56. I'd like to hear them pages turning. Pray for Brother Danny. He's leaving for Mississippi early in the morning. Beams has their national conference this week. Pray for that meeting. The Lord just give him a great time down there. Pray for Brother Danny as he travels. Forgot to make mention of that. All right, Romans chapter 8 this morning. Let's stand together. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Read one verse, and then we're going to pray. Let you be seated. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things?" Great question. And then here comes another one. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? It's easy to say that when we're standing here this morning. It's easy to live that way when you're surrounded by your brothers and your sisters in Christ. It's different when they stick a gun to your face. I've never had that, but I'm sure it'd be different. It's different when you're out at the workplace and you're the only saved person in the crowd. It's different at schoolhouse when everybody around you is living ungodly and you want to live godly. But God still tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm afraid this morning, that question you might not utter with your lips. You might not speak that amongst us, the brethren. But I'm sure there's times in our lives that when we can't tell which way's up and which way's down, when there's not enough money for the month, when things, it seems like everything you touch falls apart, that many times we're thinking, oh God, where are you? And I can tell you, and boy, I was thinking about this message that God already laid on my heart, but when I was talking to that pastor over here at the dog thing Friday, we got to talking and he says, you know what? He says, you grow the most in the hardest times. And how true that is. He says, I've learned so much. And he's older than I am. I'd say he's a good 15 years older than I am anyway. And he says, preacher, he says, I'm learning more now than I've ever learned before when it comes to pastoring. And I said, I can understand that. But I'm afraid a lot of times we question the fact, if God be for us. Now I know, again, if I ask you to raise your hand, nobody in here this morning would say, preacher, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know if God's for me or not. You wouldn't do it. But I'm afraid, again, that many times we walk through our lives and we get discouraged and downhearted and broken, and death comes, sickness comes, troubles come. I'm thankful for that song that Brother Rick just sung, Stand By Me. And I'm thankful this morning that I know when I can't stand, he's still standing by me. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. So we're going to look at this just a little bit this morning. Let's pray, and we'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, that God just encourages us. Lord, that God, when we want to stop and we want to just sit down and quit, God, Lord, there's like Jeremiah said, there's a fire in our bones, God. There's something inside of me, God, that just wants to keep going on, Lord, when this old body don't want to go another step. And God, I pray, God, today as we've met together one more time here at the church house, that God, that you just work in our midst. God, they might be somebody here today, God, that's lost. God, they might have religion, Lord. They might have a form or a fashion of religion. But God, Lord, they don't have a true salvation. I pray today, God, Lord, that you'd wipe away, God, all that falsity, God, that you'd take away, God, all that self-righteousness. God, let them see, God, they're just a lost person, God, on the way to hell. But God, you're a Savior that can and will give them eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that you'll do that. Lord, there's others this morning, I'm sure, God, that are saved. God, they know they're going to heaven. But God, maybe they've lost that joy. Maybe they've lost sight of, Lord, the winning side of life, Lord. And I pray, God, today, Lord, you stir in our midst, God. Help us today, God, to see, God, that you're never going to leave us. You're never going to forsake us. Lord, I pray for our youngins this morning, God. Lord, all around the building this morning, Children's Church and Junior Church and Pee Wee Church, I pray, God, that you'll bless in that time there, Lord, and speak to those youngins' hearts. And God, we're praising you, Lord, for what you're doing for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, Romans chapter 8 ends there with that great statement, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, if you believe that, and I, again, if I ask if you believe it, you say, oh yeah, I believe that. You wouldn't have hesitance. And I wouldn't have hesitance. Because if we really believe that no matter on the mountain or in the valley or climbing up the side of the mountain, that God is for us, and who could be against us this morning? We'd live our lives a lot different. It changed the way we walked. It changed the way we talked. It changed the way we responded. And so there is a great truth there. But I want to show you that truth here in Romans chapter 8 of that question, if God be for us, who could be against us? I want to show you that truth in Psalms 56 this morning out of the story here of David, that great man of God, of King David here in Psalms chapter 56. And if you will, turn your Bibles over there. If you already found your place there, just look with me this morning. Psalms 56, where we're going to spend a little time. Now, we're going to do something that I don't usually do, but I believe it adds so much to this. Most of your Bibles this morning, when you look here in Psalms 56, there's a header before you begin the verses there. And I want you to look at what it says there at the very beginning. Not verse 1, but just right above that. Probably your Bible says this. It says, to the chief musician upon Jonath, Elam Rechem, Mitchum of David. Now I know you think, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I believe if you'll study those things out a little bit, you'll see. And those are titles of what it seemed like that God, as David was penning these things through the inspiration of God, for the purpose of the writing. And when you read that statement there, I want you to understand what that means, because it adds so much to what we see here in those scriptures. When you look at that first part, it says to the chief musician, he's penning here because these psalms were a lot of times sang. It says to the musician upon Jonath Elam Rechem. That term there has an interesting meaning. It means the silent dove in distant places. The silent dove in distant places. Now, preacher, what does that mean? Well, when you look at what we're getting ready to read here, if you skip down to, I didn't read it, but if you look at the very last part of that titlement, it says, which the Mitchum of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. So, I see here a lot that brings these words more to life. If we'll put ourselves in the place where David was, we know that the Apostle Paul, as he writes most of the New Testament, you find the Apostle Paul where? In jail. He's inside the prison house, not because he's a crook or a thief, because he's preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He's chained in jails throughout a lot of the writings of the New Testament there. But here's David. Here is David after we know that David has stood and David's killed that great giant there, a Goliath. And now we see here, this Psalms rings out when the Philistines took him in Gath. Here we find David imprisoned by the enemy. Here we find David in the terms that we would call today a POW. We've got men today that are POWs. We know there's many of men, we've had several that's been part of us over the years that were POWs at some point during their lives in wartime. I can't imagine being in that situation. I can't imagine what it would be like to be held by the enemy. Because they gotta hate you. You're the part of the formula that they're fighting against. And that's where we find David here. But that thought, first thought there of Jonath Elam Rekum, that means, again, the silent dove in a distant place. That's talking about David. You take a dove, and most of us know a dove is a very meek, a very a mild bird. And here we see David, the man of God. David, here he is as a dove in a distant place. He's away from home. He's away from the comforts. He's away from family. He's away from friends. So that's the position of David. But then I also see that it says here, michtam of David. And that word michtam literally means to cut or to engrave. I'm so thankful this morning that we've got a God that loved us so much that He literally cut and engraved His precious word that you and I could have it to study and to read and to follow and to live our lives according to the word of God. And that's what David's talking about. David said, talking about what he had gone through. That he was that one that was a dove in a distant place. But he wants to make sure that nobody ever forgets what God did for him in that situation. So we find David here again, a POW. Let's read these verses together, and I'll give you my thought for this morning. The Bible says here, David, verse number 1 of Psalms 56, says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God." Verse 8 says, "Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? That I may walk before God in the light of the living." What a beautiful psalm. What a beautiful thought as you think about. Now I want you to picture in your mind. Here's David. And again, I know that we every word, every jot, every tittle is from the inspiration of God Himself. But God took this man David. He took him at a time that here he is as a prisoner. Here he is in Gath. Here he is sitting inside the jailhouse. Now I want you to picture in your mind. Here he is, and even mentions how they watch his steps. They listen to his words. They want to destroy him. And he every day after day after day, as he hears the armies as they march, as he listens as the soldiers come in and out, as he listens to what they're saying. Can you imagine? Because listen. He's the one that killed Goliath. It was his people that destroyed many of these men that are standing watch over David. Many of the men that David see walk by day after day in that prison, they had brothers and daddies that were killed by David and David's people. There's no love lost in that place. There's nobody there but David. And everybody around hated him. Now I want you to know this morning, a lot of times we'll get to a place in our lives where we feel like we're all alone. Maybe our husbands or our wives don't know what we're facing. Maybe there's family troubles. Maybe there's job problems. Maybe there's something going on in our lives that nobody else knows. And I believe that that starts to give you a glimpse this morning, and only a glimpse. I've never sat in that place where David was sitting here to the extent that I believe David was there. It wasn't no fancy place. It was prison. A POW. Amongst everybody there that hated him. So we see David in the condition that he was in here. But the thing that I want you to see this morning, there's a beautiful outline in this chapter, and I want to give it to you, but I don't want to preach all of it, but I want you to see it. The first thing that I see here this morning, verses 1 through 4, is the fact this morning of the mercies of God. Where would we be this morning if God wasn't merciful? Listen, this morning, if God didn't care. And here we see God being merciful. In verses 1 and 2, we see that God understands that that we have enemies. Verses 1 and 2, he says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer for the end of..." That's not the right place. I've lost the wrong place. Back up. 56. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high." David's crying out unto a merciful God. God understood. God knows this morning. Listen, you'll never be in a place in your life that God does not understand. And God, David's crying out to the merciful God. Verses 3 and 4 here, we see that he's also crying out through his faith. We see in verse 3 and 4, he says, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." We see that even in this place, David is crying out to a merciful God with that thought of that's where his faith is. He wasn't relying on some man. He wasn't relying even on himself. He shows his faith to be in God. I wrote the title. I didn't give it to you this morning, but the title that God put on my heart. You ever heard somebody say that, and it's sad that we get to this. We get to that place where we say, "God's all I got." And what that means is you've exhorted everything that you possibly think that you can do. You've come to the end of your rope. Can I say this morning, no matter if you say that or if you don't say that, when it feels like God's all you got, let me tell you, God's all you need. And that's the place this morning we need to get back to, that as we're living, listen, we this morning, if you're saved this morning, and I'm going to say the majority of people here is going to testify, "Hey, I'm saved, preacher." If you're saved this morning, I want you to realize you are in enemy territory. Not inside this church, I hope. This world is not our home. This world doesn't like what we do. They don't care about your God. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. So we see here David cries out to the God of mercies. And in verses 12 through 13, I see a great picture of the God that he's crying out to and the mightiness of who that God is. Verses 10 and 11, we see that he's mindful of David's trust. And I'm just giving this outline because I don't have time to preach it. In verses 5 through 7, we see that he's mindful of David's trials. And then verses 8 and 9, what a beautiful picture. I do want you to see that. Look here in verses 8 and 9. These are beautiful verses. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou in my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" You see what he's talking about, his God? What care David knew that God was taking of him. Even in that prison, even in that foreign land, even as that dove in a strange place, David's asking God, he says, "I know that you're in control, and I know that you're taking my tears and putting them in a bottle." Boy, aren't you glad for the bottle of God. Now let me give you a little story about that bottle. It's pretty interesting in Jewish customs. Back in those days, Bible days, when people were mourning, that they would literally cry and they would gather those tears and put them in a bottle, and they would go to where that loved one was buried and they'd place that bottle of tears upon that grave. Nowadays, people die and it's just, "Okay, hurry up and get it over with. I got other things to do." Sad, but true. But they had such a careness about them, such a love, a devotion. And oh, this morning, David's reminding us this morning that God has a bottle and that God is catching those tears, and those tears mean something to God. I don't remember who that preacher was, but I remember the story one time of a preacher. A mama had called this preacher. This mama had a child that had gone away. This child had got out into the world and got in trouble and ended up in jail. And called this preacher and was telling this preacher and wanted this preacher to go down to the jailhouse and visit her child. As the preacher agreed to go, she says, "Wait a minute, before you go, I want you to take something with you." And that mama handed that preacher a bottle and says, "I want you to give this to that boy." It was a bottle of her tears that she had wept over that boy. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, if a man came into a jail cell and handed me a bottle of my mama's tears, I'd believe that'd do something for me. But people today, we don't weep like we need to weep. We don't mourn like we ought to mourn. And here David is mentioning the fact of how mighty our God is. But the thing that I want you to see also, look at verses 12 and 13 here, the mighty God there, it says, "Thy vows are upon me." The Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. And here David's acknowledging the fact that God has promised some things. And when God promises us something, I can promise you this morning that God will not go back upon His word. And David, as he sat there in that jail, as he sat there behind enemy ground, as he sat there listening day after day as those men would curse and probably want to kill him, he was reminded of the fact that God had made some promises to David. And friend, this morning, that's why it's so important that we live in this book, that we understand this book, as we dive into that book, that we take a hold of the promises of God as we walk through our enemy world, that we understand these things. And not only do I see the promise of God there in verse number 12, but look at verse number 13. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." David, and again, we're talking about David. David here acknowledging the fact of God, the one that saves. David knew, even behind enemy ground, that if he died there, that his soul was taken care of. Now friend, this morning you need to understand, if you're saved, hallelujah, put your feet down and know that no matter what happens, I'm going to heaven when I die. That'll help you. And that's what David's talking about. But it didn't just stop there. God did not save us and then walk away from us. Look what he says. Verse 13 says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." That's salvation. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" What's David saying? David says, "Lord, I know that if I die, You're taking care of my soul." And if you don't know that this morning, you need to know that. This morning, you're going to die. One of these days, friend, death is going to knock upon your door. And your soul is going to end up somewhere, either in heaven or in a lake of fire one day. But friend, this morning, David understood that God had already made provisions for his soul. But as much as David understood that if he died there, heaven would be home. He goes on to say there again, look at it. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" David says, "God, I know that you're going to let me go to heaven one day, but I believe, God, I'm trusting in you. I know this morning that you pick my feet up, as the Bible talks about over in Proverbs, that you set my feet upon a rock and you establish my goal." Hey, friend, this morning we can walk in this world just as David said here and know that no matter what happens around about us, that God is taking care of you. Not only in salvation, but in living. Friend, you don't have to live the way of this world. You don't have to do the things this world does. You can be different in today's world. How? Through God. But again, David, a dove in a distant land, behind enemy grounds, in a POW camp, sitting there in prison, listening to men talk about killing him, David stretches his head out to God and says, "God, I'm just trusting you. God, I know you're taking care of me." This morning, can you do that? I want you to see something this morning. This is the gist of the message this morning. This is just stuff adding up to it. Look here in verse number 9. Well, look at verse number 8 and 9. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know." Now, again, how did David know that? David didn't have the Bible that we've got. David didn't see the things that we've been able to see. But he had a relationship that was so real with God. Notice here again, he says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know." And here's what I want you to see this morning. "For God is for" who? "Me." If God be for us, Romans chapter 8, who can be against us? It's not a question if. David says, even when I'm all alone, even when my world is at the worst it could ever get, when nothing else is there but me and God, God's still all I need. Child, this morning, God, he says, is for me. Three things, and I'm done. Three things that I believe I can tell you this morning why God's for me. First of all, I know that God's for me this morning because he saved me. Hey, why would God send Jesus to this world? Why would God send that only begotten Son to come and die on the cross for my sins? That tells me that God is for me. See, people today feel like God's against them. That God's up there wanting to zap you. That God wants to see you fall. Oh, that's the furthest from the truth this morning. God loves you and God's for you and God wants to help you. I know this morning God's for me. Why? Because he saves. Why in the world would he want something like us if he wasn't for us? This morning, do you know that? Oh, friend, this morning, as we go through this old wicked world, as we're living day after day, trying to be the best we can for the Lord, hey, friend, realize this morning that God is for you. Why? Because he gave us salvation. Second of all, this morning, I know that God's for me because he's with me. Now, I'm working on some things for missions conference, and you've already seen some of the flyers that's around. Compassion making a difference. God, I know, is for me because he saved me. But I know this morning God's for me because he's making me. Boy, I used to love Michael Barnett. Some of you know him. He's a chaplain in the Army now. He used to be a missionary at Rock of Ages. Him and his brother, back when he was about this tall, his mom and daddy, they'd make him, but they sung at our church a lot of times, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. I don't remember how that goes, but over there in Jeremiah, he took Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And you see, he took Jeremiah down and he says, "I want you to look at that potter and how that potter's working that clay." Can I tell you this morning, that's what God's doing in my life. This morning, my life is in the hands of God and God is molding my clay to make me a vessel to bring honor unto him. David, in a time of trouble, in a place that was beyond my imagination of how awful it could be, David says, "I know that God's for me. I know, God, that you're going to take care of this." He says, "God, you're forming me." So I know this morning that God's for me because he saved me. I know that God's for me because he's making me. Oh, but friend, this morning I know that God's for me because one day he's coming back after me. Hey, I'm important to God. I'm so important to God. Well, that's awful proud of you to say. No. Hey, one of these days, the Lord's going to step out of glory and come back, according to John chapter 14, and get me. If God wasn't for me, why would he ever want to come back and get me? So this morning, I want to encourage you to read back through these verses this morning as we read here in Psalms 56 and think about where David was. And what David was going through. And what David had to be thinking. And to think this morning that you and I find ourselves in times and troubles and places that we too feel like David might have felt like nobody's there. But David understood when nobody else was there that God was there. And he said, God's for me. Listen, you're never in the minority when you're with God. No matter how big opposition might seem, how unbelievable the situation might look like it is, God will always be there. Now, listen. David understood that God is for me. This morning, are you living your life in such a way that people know that God's for you? Do people see your trust in God? Don't get sucked into this world. Don't get sucked into their mealy mouth. Just know that no matter what takes place, that God's for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? David says, God is for me. So this morning, have you lost sight that God's really for you? Listen, you're going to get this old body. And that's one of the things that I'm learning more about. We get weak in the flesh, and it won't be long that if we're not careful, we become weak in the spirit. We let this flesh drive when we ought to let the spirit drive. Paul had the same trouble. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, those things that I would do, I don't do. And those things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. He had that battle between that old and that new man. It's nothing new. But the fact is, we might feel like a dove in a strange land. But I want to tell you this morning, you can write it down. You can etch it in a stone. God is for us. Now this morning, if you're not saved, the wrath of God lies upon you. If you die without the Lord, you're going to feel the wrath of God. But this morning, He's for you because He'll save you. Just as you are, He'll save you. But this morning, do you realize that God is for you? What a blessed hope. What a thought this morning that ought to just encourage us to go on another mile. Let's don't set it down. Let's get back up. God is able. He's able to keep your home. He's able to keep your marriage. He's able to keep the church up and about. Listen, I'm not trusting us to do it. God's for me. This morning, do you realize God is for you? Let's stand together this morning.